comfortable and let our journey begin as we meet the hosts, internationally acclaimed mediums, Nick and Sylvia Avery.
Hello everyone, this is Sylvia Avery and welcome to Spirit Work, the metaphysical spiritual information show that's designed to stretch your mind and help you to think outside of the box. And on today's show, as usual, my husband Nick will be deep trance channeling, and we are going to be discussing the reactive mind and expanding your senses. So if you have a question that you'd like to join us with relating to our subject, we're not actually giving readings. It's not a reading situation, but basically it could be things that are happening to you in your development, in your psychic moments or anything like that. Then you can, of course, phone Gregory and he will answer you and have a conversation with you live on air. So we'd love to hear from you. The number is free phone, it's in the USA, it's 877-876-5227. In Canada, it's 888-815-9756. And if there's any international callers awake, it's not toll-free, but the number is
0001-530-876-3222. Well, hi, I'm Mick Avery. Anyway, as well as Spirit's Work on bbsradio.com every Monday at 7 p.m. PST, we have another radio show, which is Spirit Teaching, and you can hear that on artistfirst.com every Tuesday at 7 p.m. PST. If you'd like to know more about us, our books, CDs, maybe go visit our website, book an Akashic reading. Do go and visit our website at www.spirit-teaching.com for an Akashic reading or whatever. And you can also see us at www.spiritsworkradio.com. As Sylvie said, I'm a deep trance medium. And each week, live on the show, I channel Gregory Hay, who had an Earth life 300 years ago. I have the ability to completely hand over my physical body to the spirit world so they may use it to speak through, and I know absolutely nothing about what has happened during this time. When I go into the deep trance state, my conscious mind and my spirit are transported elsewhere by the spirit team who work with us, and then they bring us back, no, then they bring me back when the spirit communicator leaves. I'm not an us, am I? No. I not only miss the whole show, but I very rarely remember where it was that they took me either, and it's not necessary for me to have to remember it. It's not like other forms of changes in consciousness. However, with this, it's just a matter of totally letting go and letting go to the spirit world, really, and a bit like going to sleep, really, or having kind of instant out-of-body experience. And that's what I do, and without further ado, that's exactly what I am going to do.
Well,
so goodbye for this week.
Okay, Gregory is a spokesperson for a group of spirits of higher intelligence called the White Cloud Group, and they consist of many great minds as well as ordinary people. And between them, they have access to vast knowledge and insight. They've come to bring their teachings because there's a need for us to have understanding beyond the constraint of our human minds. The subject matter we cover, whether in our books or on our radio shows, is limitless and will hopefully help you to become more knowledgeable and better informed as to the nature of your eternal existence on Earth, as well as your continued life after physical death. So if you have any ideas or a show topic that you would like us to cover one week, do email me at enq@spirit-teaching.com anytime with your show suggestion. And also, if you have any questions specifically that you have go with the show that you would like me to put to Gregory on air, then send them as well, and we will do that. We do get through our shows, and the spirit team basically want to come and talk to you about things that you want to know about. You know, they don't want to come and just lecture to us week after week, so this is very helpful for them and for everybody else, because we all learn from everybody's thoughts and feelings and everybody's experiences. So that's that would be lovely. We are actually this Sunday, the 20th July, at on secondlife.com again. If you've not joined us, do come along. We have great fun. If you've not joined Second Life yet, it's free, and you can get yourself an avatar, which is a physical body that you call, that is you, as it were. It's a virtual reality world, and then you can come along to our to the Mystic Academy and in the Oracle Temple for a session with Gregory live like this, only it's actually, you can actually see each other, as in virtual reality form anyway, and it's, I can't really explain it because it's just, well, it's just mind-blowing to me, really. But, I mean, it really is good. It's very interactive. So do come along and join us there. Anyway, I do believe Gregory's with us now.
With love and light and blessed be upon your pathway, dear friend.
Thank you.
Hello.
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 So this week we're going to be talking about the reactive mind again.
Yes.
Aren't we? So we've covered quite a bit of ground in this series and found out about how our thoughts are creating our reality and basically trying to sort out the things that we can do something about and why things happen. So I don't know where exactly you want to continue from here.
Yes, well, much of the reactive mind, of course, is really to do with the environment, how it reacts with you and what are the thoughts of other people around you. Remembering, of course, that the reactive mind is very much based upon your inventory of what exactly happens to you at that moment and the feelings that it stirs, the emotions that are created because you are simply in a reactive state to your environment. Now, for many people, particularly those growing up new to the physical world, it will be that they actually use the reactive mind in a sense to gauge, to try to understand what their parameters are, what their boundaries may be. You can see this in a child, in any person really, who is deciding to be really reactive with the moment rather than actually using planning. But what about planning coming from somebody else's mind? You can sometimes gauge how it is that other people are going to react to you when you instigate a specific plan. Depending upon what you had in mind will then create the outcome. However, that's very manipulative for many people, and some people might not like to be manipulated in that way. However, when you look at your physical life, all of you are reacting to one another's presences. And the presence that you feel, the environment that you create around you, and the way that you experience that environment is something which is also registering upon the emotional centers and senses that are being picked up through your physical body presence and also, of course, your spirit. And this really does mean to say that your reactive mind consciousness is, in a sense, in the driving seat. So it's really going to be a comparison of what your dreams may be or how you wish to shape your reactive state of consciousness to certain events. Now, some people may well react completely differently to a certain set of events, which to someone else might seem like water off a duck's back, and they do not actually take into the combustion of, maybe it's not a thought that actually affects them, that with difficulty or something like that, but others will have difficulty. In exactly the same way as we are talking here, we are using this supplicant physical state in order to get our point across. We're not using his reactive mind, because that's actually an issue which has been put to sleep, in a sense, because his consciousness and spirit are somewhere else. So we're actually using a compliant condition, which in essence I have overtaken of his actual physical state. So this means to say that I am able to use the hands and fingers and that kind of thing. I only bother with the upper body because the bottom half of him really just needs to be compliant in sitting upon the chair that he is sitting in. So in many respects, one would say, well, surely then I am using other situations of reactive mind in order for this to come about. And I think it's a fair point. Many people, of course, who do sit in this kind of state will maybe have certain connotations of their own consciousness involved, like in things like sitting upright. So, but the reactive state of conscious mind that we have left intact is, in this state of the occasion, really purely and simply just to do with the fact of certain residual understandings of, shall we say, wordplay, language, and that kind of thing, even though much of it I am also using myself, because I am using a language structure that our dear friend here would not normally use at all. So when you're looking at the reactive mind, what we're actually using are certain compliant parts of his, the residual state of his consciousness, if you like, left upon the physical brain and the synapses that have been created within those seeds of consciousness. And so purely and simply, you are looking at a being whose heart is still pumping, whose breathing is still continuously improving upon his state of well-being. However, it will be that we have actually mastered certain adjuncts to his breathing apparatus in order that we can make words. Otherwise, we would simply run out of air. So we have to bring compliance to certain parts of his physical body state. This then means we're not using the reactive mind in exactly the same way that he would, but actually I am using my own consciousness memory of how that was brought about in the creation of language and structure of sound coming through the vocal cords. Now, if you are looking at a child who is moving across their reactive journey, what it is you are looking at and studying, perhaps, experiencing joy at, are the situations of that child as it learns its parameters. Its reactive mind is beginning to see the boundaries set, maybe by the environment or by other people around it. Quite simply and purely, that's the reason why it is that children put their hands toward flames, because they don't realize what it contains or what it can do to the physical body state. Equally, it is to do with even putting food to the mouth. All of these situations are trials learnt and events equalized within the consciousness. The reactive mind is totally to your environment and the world in which you live. In the spirit world, we gauge other aspects to the reactive state of consciousness. It's not the mind which works in exactly the same way as it did in physical life, but it's a fairly good replicant of it, quite simply because we're using the cell memory and the structure of consciousness attained by the physical life being presence in order to continue to correlate it. However, thoughts in this respect of being in the spirit world are completely reactive and in real time. They are not, in a sense, waiting for the penny to drop, and they're not in that you may find for one reason or another, for example, if your consciousness or your physical state is diseased in some way, then your speech becomes slurred and quite incoherent. It's not actually that way. It's part of the reason why it is that even though it was part of your conscious mind, perhaps at the ending of your life plan journey, if it had been that you had suffered from some errant disease or whatever, that this is still not in the conscious residual energy when you eventually leave the physical life. It's something, of course, that's repaired and immediate, because the rest of your physical life journey overrides that present physicality of consciousness, and it doesn't any longer apply in the spirit world.
Okay, so, lots of things there, isn't there? Do you have to concentrate on how you make his body, you know, well, probably not now, but when you first started breathe and swallowing and all the rest of it?
Oh, absolutely so, my dear friend. Sometimes we got it very mixed up and we found ourselves using a swallow as the same time as doing something else, and it actually meant that we weren't able to get words out. And at times, in fact, the emotional state of the field of our continuing journey together actually meant that it was quite difficult for us at the beginning, not for me personally, but for others who used his physical state before I became present in the ability to continue this journey, before then it was actually very difficult at times for him to be able to allow the control to take place, quite simply because it can be a purely organic compound. It can be purely that the conscious mind wants to stop it, and
Absolutely.
It wants to do that quite so because it's, in essence, an alien situation.
Well, yes.
In respect of having a foreign body allowing the control, you see, to allow that control. That's the point, really, of having completely let go and allowing through the trust energy to vacate the physical state. It wasn't so in the very beginning, and we had to be very gentle with him, of course. I understand that was actually the reason why people sometimes had a paper bag on hand, so that if we did get it wrong, his energy and consciousness would suddenly kick in, and then the breathing situation would overpower him, and sometimes even make him feel quite...
lightheaded.
Yes, lightheaded and difficult, yes.
Mm. Yes, absolutely, and it's interesting because, you know, most situations in life, you are concentrating on being a clear thinker and be having total control of your thoughts, you know.
Yes.
And with this situation, it was something that you had to let go of.
Yes.
Totally let go of your thoughts.
Absolutely so. And for him to be able to do that, to accomplish that in actually quite a short time span, was the necessity for the plan to make the plan become realized, you see.
Absolutely. So basically, we were talking about reactive thoughts and passive thoughts and proactive thoughts and the pros and cons for all of this, really.
Yes.
Okay, so what about things like, how does the law of attraction come into this then?
The law of attraction, yes. It's not actually necessarily the thing that you think it is. Oh, we'll leave that
okay.
for the moment. Yes.
Hello, caller. Hello?
This is Drew in Connecticut. Good evening, you two. Or you three. Hello.
Oh, hi.
Hi.
Hello.
Hello. I have been listening very intently, and I'm resonating with a question, and I'm hoping that perhaps this will lead for other answers, either to myself or for others. But in being reactive, I am finding, particularly now, that my consciousness does not want to be in the 3D, and yet I'm in my house, but I want to sell my house, and it's like I don't know where I want to go. At the same time, you mentioned the law of attraction, and interestingly enough, I feel by letting go, I should just sort of resonate with what is existing in the 3D plane. However, it's not like it's not responding to me proactively. It seems like I'm resisting it, and at the same time, nothing is consummating positively.
Yes, and this sometimes, my dear friend, can actually send very confusing signals to your own spirit consciousness relationship. And
you're telling
oftentimes,
me.
Yes, right. absolutely so, my friend. So what it can oftentimes do then is create this void between you that it almost appears to be that your spirit is even further away from your consciousness than you really want it to be. It's like chasing the rabbit, and the rabbit increasingly becomes more agitated. So what you have to do, friend, is you have to reverse the field of compulsion that you're doing, because what you're trying to do is still react to your spirit in a conscious physical body way. And what you really need to do is to be able to step back from that simple situation of energy exchange and really learn to allow. Allow is very forgiving. It means to say that you have to forgive yourself in order to fully allow. Now, I'm not trying to use a play on words here. I really, really mean this, that what you need to do, friend, is you need to practice a form of Sesi meditation, which is actually really much lighter. It's not a very deep vibration. It means to say that it's, however, giving you a practice of how to illuminate consciousness. And this is what Sesi meditation does. And what you need to do, friend, is that you sit in a nice straight-backed chair, and you learn to allow the conscious thought to dissipate by giving it less attraction and less attention. You don't need to use music or any other form of antipathy in order to distract your attraction away, so therefore trying to enhance your correlation of consciousness and spirit. You need to be able to really let go of your conscious mind, because your conscious mind is trying to manipulate you because of different ways that you have come up in order to become reactive to your three-dimensional environment.
Now, as far as just the average listener who sits in a chair and keeps their back straight, or listens to meditative tapes, or is anticipating positive energy in the world and trying to just let go. I mean, I am looking for an on or off switch. I'm like, I need to be cognizant that it's working, and for some reason that's missing just in my
mind. I understand. Yes, my dear friend, I completely understand. And the reason why is because you're still looking for a physical switch. So what you need to do, friend, is you need to understand this is an immersion. This is not something that you are relating to you have to try to stop the physical connection. However, to stop the physical connection means letting go, and letting go of the energy. So understand this, friend. Thoughts are reactive, pro-reactive, or negatively reactive. That means to say that they either attract energy to you or you send energy out, depending upon what is actually happening. And the energy conditions can vary depending upon your attitude of mind. The resolution of mind then depicts as how you react to the event. So that's just being a physical being, but it's also being a spirit consciousness. And what you have to understand is that what's happening at this present time is that you are the unwilling participant of your consciousness at this
unwilling
moment.
You said an unwilling participant of my consciousness,
yes.
Correct? Okay.
Yes.
But in the 3D, we have to be willing in order to just pay the bills and get the kids to school.
Oh, yeah. But I think what you're talking about then, Gregory, is being able to do this to then gain the correct information from his spirit or from his guides or whatever.
Yes, exactly.
To actually, get a better intuitive connection to where he is supposed to be in his life. And
yes.
And then synchronicity presumably will take over, because he will be where he's supposed to be.
Yes, absolutely so, my dear friend. I'm so pleased that we're having this conversation. So the situation then is, friends, that you become reactive to events, and that's what you're used to doing, because it's the way that
a lot of people are, yes.
Yes, absolutely so. But that's why it is, friend, that you have to get back to what it is that we do in the spirit world, which is we practice this Sesiism, which allows us the space, the interconnective space between consciousness, that's the consciousness memory. Don't forget, friend, that we're in the spirit world. We are without the conscious physical body presence. We are reliant upon the conscious memory and the way that cell structure allows us to memorize thoughts and feelings and the attitudes that we've had, which is some of the times the reason why it is that when we pass to the spirit world, we are still proactively conscious about the situations and conditions that we always used to feel, and that's still the attractive point of view. So that we want to go and have a cup of tea and biscuits or a glass of ale or wine, and for some people they think that because they're coming from the physical point of view that those in the spirit world can't possibly do that. But of course you can, because you have the consciousness memory, and it's just a matter of the spirit being able to transfer that consciousness memory. However, I detract from the point, and that is that as a physical being presence, what you need to do is to learn to allow to gain ultimate control of your consciousness. That is what is lacking. And so what you're doing is you're always being proactive, which means to say, yes, you're letting go of your consciousness, but you're still looking for it. You're still looking for a reaction, rather than really allowing the space to develop between your consciousness awareness and your spirit, so that it actually becomes closed. And the point is that you, because you're reacting as a physical body presence, you're thinking that your consciousness is in point A and your spirit's in point B. But
right.
It isn't. But it isn't. Your consciousness and your spirit are actually in the same place. It's just that one overlaps the other. So you have to learn to allow your consciousness to become still long enough that your spirit can actually be reactive to you. Not you being reactive to your spirit, but so that it's a bit like, I suppose, a film coming up upon a screen, and that you aren't aware that the film is there, and then suddenly it plays out, and you're immersed in your film. This is exactly what happens in dream state, my dear friend, when the condition becomes that you are interreactive with the events that maybe perhaps your doorkeeper had taken you to, leading you by the hand. You're not actually aware of where it is you're going, or maybe you are, and you're reactive then to the flying experience, the situation that happens and interacts with you, not in a physical conscious way, but actually in a purely dynamic way, because your consciousness and spirit are at one. And it's at these moments when you experience utter unity. And this is the kind of situation that you want to experience in physical life, but joy of joys you aren't allowed to, purely and simply because your consciousness gets in the way. And this is what you need to do, friend, is turn off your consciousness so that your actual presence can be at one with your spirit.
When does he do this then? I mean, can't.
Well, my dear friend, my suggestion to you is that you begin this first thing in the morning, before you even open your eyelids, when you first come into the swelling of consciousness. This is the time which is optimum for you to begin the process of relearning the establishment of consciousness and really, truly letting go of the conscious mind.
Okay. Do I have time to ask just a couple more related questions?
I am so enjoying
this. Okay, and what was your name? I didn't catch your name, sorry.
Yeah, I'm Drew from Connecticut.
Drew.
Well, the law of attraction relates to vibration. And I guess in relating to the morning time that you mentioned, as far as one trying to mesh one's physical into the consciousness as we are one, there's the question that everything is an illusion. So if we are meshed into one, is in fact consciousness and the physical 3D reality still an illusion? And what aspect of vibration are we thinking about? Is it physical? Is it auditory? Is it colors? I mean, how does one sense that in attracting the consciousness?
Yes. Well, my dear friend, first of all, you're not going to... The plan is that you don't engage with the consciousness. The plan is that you learn to control it, rather than your consciousness controlling you, which is actually what's happening at this moment in time. So what you're experiencing is this dogmatic link principle that you've actually had to thrash around learning as a physical child. And this is part of the undoing process that you need to go through in order to fully realize the parameter of where your consciousness is and how you originate it. So it means to say, friend, it's a bit like having the tail wag the dog rather than the dog actually consciously making the effort to wag the tail. This is why it is, friend, that you need to bring this connectivity about, you see? So what you would do, friend, is that in paying less attraction to the energy of thought that you have, remembering that thought is a living thing, so that when you... The reason why I suggested first thing in the morning is because your thoughts are not illuminate. They are, in fact, only barely stirring, and they're stirring because you're searching for them. So what you need to do, friend, is allow the thoughts to just dissipate. When you're attracted to a thought, immediately within your sitting experience, first thing in the morning, and I don't want you to do this too long either, 20 minutes is quite sufficient. If you labor on this too long, you then become unequaled by it, you become dissatisfied with yourself, altruition moves into the foreground, and you actually find yourself being quite obnoxious about yourself and becoming quite negative about the experience, because physical people tend to get angry at their lack of ability. And this is usually the one single emotional energy and energy compliant which actually then distorts the whole vision of what you're trying to succeed to do. And the reason why it is, friend, that I asked of you to do this at first thing in the morning is because your consciousness hasn't awoken. You haven't brought about the sharing capacity of your consciousness doing the normal run-of-the-mill things that you do. Even scratching your face is something which is consciously compliant. So it means to say, friend, you just let the energy go. And even when you feel things on your face or whatever, you learn to lessen the attraction of mind to those events, and you will eventually find that whatever is brought to you, either by the spirit world or even by physical interactivity, that you are actually able just to let go of. And this is the condition you need to unveil to yourself in order that you may meet with your beautiful, beautiful spirit, and so that you can really continue your journey and actually make the real attraction, the real communication of your beautiful, pure spirit work for you.
And make space for your guides to be able to communicate.
Absolutely.
Because while you're constantly, your head, your mind's turning over all of the time, then they find it difficult to get through. So you're raising your vibration as well at the same time, aren't
you? Otherwise, you see, it's like you're having a bickering audience with your consciousness. And what's happening is that the errant fool is continuously garbling different commands and sentences and that kind of thing, and you're not gaining any peace to begin with. You're not on your island of peace. You're instead in refuge from your consciousness. There you are, hiding away in your little corner, trying not to, in a sense, allow your consciousness to interfere with the journey that you want to make when you're searching for your spirit. This is why so many people become unstuck with this particular aspect of journey. It's quite simply because they forget how to let go.
You're reacting to your fears, aren't you, all of the
time?
Yes,
absolutely so. And your primitive instincts, hopes as well, of not being attacked while you've got your eyes closed. So your physical brain is constantly demanding that you pay attention to your environment. There are these situations which are reactive as well, and you have to learn to quell those too. And you quell them by giving them less energy. Practice it with a condition as well that you may have of yourself, perhaps a headache or something like that, or you injure yourself in some way. You can use exactly the same technique to allow your consciousness to overcome pain.
So as another visual, because you mentioned the dog and the tail, I mean, conceptually, and they say it's altered things, but what I'm envisioning, and maybe this is a guide speaking to me, but if you think of the vast sea and the thoughts in the 3D world would be, for example, if we were in the sea of consciousness and we jump out of water and we are that 3D person as a fish struggling to get back to the sea, but once we are in that sea, we're still the fish and the sea is still the consciousness, but it's a continuous flow.
Yes, absolutely so. Once you finally advance this idea of consciousness separation, you will then find that it's just like a second nature, and you just will be able to get out of bed, not even bother opening your eyes, take a few sips of water because you've already prepared it the night before, and just slip into your chair and quite simply let go, and you will be able to do this in perhaps 5 or 8 seconds, and just simply allow this state to overwhelm you. It's quite all right. You're quite safe. You can allow the instinct modifications that have happened because you're having a 3D physical life to allow them to dissipate.
He should open with a prayer or invocation of protection,
oh, yes,
though, shouldn't he?
Of course, you would.
Any meditation.
Yes, yeah, absolutely so. Asking for the protection of the highest and best, and this should be your a prologue, if you like.
Wonderful. I want to thank you all for thinking of this wonderful moment and expressing yourself and touching my heart, and not only my heart, but just the consciousness, and tomorrow morning will be a new opportunity.
Oh, that's lovely.
Wonderful,
thank
my
you,
dear friend.
Thank you for your phone call and your beautiful questions, and I'm sure so many people can have gained something from this as well.
That's, I know they will. I know we all will, and thank you, and blessings to you all.
Blessing.
Thank you so.
Bye-bye.
Good night.
Good night, yes.
Yes, well, that's wonderful, isn't it? Because, it's just so simple, isn't it? This is what we talk about so often, the simplicity of doing this. It doesn't, on this connection, it doesn't cost any money. You don't have to buy a book.
No.
You are the book.
You are the book of life.
Mm.
And what you have to do is learn to animate your inner pages of that life. Because it's essential, because it's as though many of you are just walking through life not knowing and not having that access.
But knowing that there is access, but not knowing how to hone in on that.
Yes.
So yes, you said before that your thoughts are an interaction of all worlds, basically.
Yes. That is very true, and it is, because much of your thoughts are not necessarily even being created by you. That's the point. Some of the thoughts are reactive consciousness to other people's consciousness, and their flow of their own thoughts that you actually pick up upon. And that depends, of course, upon your sensitivity, the degree by which you allow transference of thoughts to engage with your own consciousness.
Yes, well, and the thing is, people like Drew and want to develop their senses and intuition for so many different reasons, we're not just talking about people wanting to develop mediumistic skills here. I mean,
no.
To help you through your life.
Absolutely.
And this is it, and this is everybody's prerogative, isn't it, to be able to do this. But unfortunately, you do become more sensitive to everything, basically, don't you?
Yes, you become somewhat hypersensitive, because in the letting go of the consciousness situation, you are becoming at one with not only your spirit, but also with the universe. And that is something which really ratifies and heightens your spatial index, if you like, the vibration at which you are set. It means to say that your vibration suddenly takes this different turn. And that is what you experience. It's why oftentimes it can be that people, when first engaging with this experience and then realization sets in, that they actually also suddenly become aware of all of the loud traffic that's around them.
Mm. Yeah. But being able to be guided by your higher self a lot clearer is makes up for everything, doesn't it?
Well, yes, absolutely so. Mm. And that's the point, really, because the emotive is coming from the correct place, because what you are engaging with is your spirit, and your spirit is as pure as God itself.
Mm, absolutely. So how do you know the difference between, how does one know the difference between psychic information and intuition and mediumistic abilities?
Yes, it's a very good point.
On a day-to-day level?
Yes, it's usually because psychic connection is actually to do with actually reactive stances toward people or toward events. So you actually take in people, time, places, fields, events, emotions sometimes are psychic links rather than actually being present in the actual physical body. So it can be sometimes that what you pick up are the emotional fields of events of issues already passed or already dealt with, or those being felt within the aura of someone close to you. So you may well actually be picking up the emotional field event of what the person is thinking, not actually what they're thinking, but the tide which is created by the thoughts, remembering that thoughts are living things, and they are creating chemical pattern waves and also certain kinds of patterns which you pick up and analyze and defer as certain kinds of situations of thought. Because
yes.
Thoughts are living things. You don't necessarily just pick up thoughts as thoughts. They actually become senses and feelings.
Well, absolutely.
They become certain kinds of intuitive states that fire off, once you become aware of it, that fire off certain feelings of understanding and connectivity.
Absolutely, and deciphering incoming information from others in day-to-day life is sometimes a bit of a dilemma, because you have to then work out that what is going to be useful for you, and is this something that you're supposed to be particularly taking notice of?
Yes.
Or is it just that you have become so more sensitive that you're picking these things up that you didn't before? Do you know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely so, yes, quite so, friend, yes.
So knowing the difference is very difficult. So presumably that is something that you have to, is going to be a gut feeling to how it sits with you and your spirit, your higher self, your the depth of your emotions. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, absolutely.
Gut
and
feeling.
That's going to be very much based upon a learning experience, a certain curve that you bring into yourself, and how you react to certain events are usually going to be depicted by that curve.
Mm.
So in a sense, you're pre-programming yourself in order to behave in certain reactive ways to experiences that overcome you, overpower you, or that you are reactive with.
And what you're doing in this sitting is developing this partnership with your spirit, aren't you? You're rehoning all of these skills,
yes,
to help you in everyday life, basically.
Yes, and how this actually works is so very interesting, really, because in letting go of the energy of your own thoughts, your errant mind, and bringing it under control, what's actually happening is you're creating the space for your hypersensitivity to take charge, and without even realizing it. So you're letting go of your thoughts, which are usually instructive or interactive, or maybe they're just busy thoughts that you don't actually have a handle upon, that you don't actually have a reactive state on. So it's more like having a kind of a curse, I suppose. And that what you then find is that the thought just subsides. The less attraction and energy you give to the thought, it's immediate. And there it is, gone. But what you do as a conscious being is you then go and set about looking for it. Quite simply, oh, where's that thought gone? And that's what you generally tend to do, because it's the way that you have been programmed and the way that you have been taught to be reactive to your conscious three-dimensional physical journey.
Yes, well, we're not, the most important thing is that you're living in the now and not letting maybe your programmed thoughts of the past, fears of disappointments and failures of your life, of you as you see yourself, shall we say,
yes.
of things that always happen to you,
yes.
Ruin the next day, this day. You know
yes.
what I mean?
Or even the next moment or the next hour or something like that.
You're recreating yourself and not letting
yes.
all of that baggage hinder your life anymore, basically. Because, you see, in school, we're not taught how to be spiritual beings, are we? We're proud to see our kids grow up fast and to see them behaving like little adults as quickly as possible, and how proud we are that they are so grown up.
Yes, it's quite ridiculous.
You know what I mean? And
absolutely.
We're not actually taught, they're not actually taught spiritual methods and ways or anything like that.
Yes, quite so. And honing those skills of attraction then tends to be something more of an overpowering concept. That's what you have to do as a physical being, is overpower something else in order to have it comply with you. So you are using the first relationship of this, of course, is the hand-eye-mouth coordination of food. But that then is applied to every other thing, because you're a three-dimensional interactive being. I understand that. But that same thing, method, does not necessarily apply to the consciousness, and what you're tending to do is be then interactive with the consciousness, and because people are inherently lazy, it means to say that what you then do is you tend to allow the consciousness to have its way with you, and that's purely what happens then, and you then become as this default energy appears to overpower your actual way of living, and the way that you want to think is not up to you anymore. So that's generally what you tend to have to do. As a physical conscious being, having a present human experience, you need to gain control of your life, because at this moment in time, the chances are you are not.
Mm. Yeah, instead of being reinforced, this reinforced ways of thinking, obviously education is a very important part of it, isn't it?
Yes, and the way that you are educated, for many people, it's actually not the fact that they were educated well, but that rather they were taught how to educate themselves, what to take in, what to drink in, what are the mechanics behind educating the consciousness in order to become reactive to your predisposition, not to other people's predisposition around you. Because what they're trying to do is change your environment. What you need to be is proactive for your self-state. Yes, you might say that that's selfish, but it's not. It's actually providing the impetus for connectivity for yourself. And then the more that other people do this as well, they become more interactive with not just their own consciousness energy, but what you also find is that you become interactive with other people's consciousness energy. And that is something which brings about a relationship of distinction, because it means that when you form friendships in this way, they are real.
So are children too young? What about children meditating in school? Just for these, say, even 10 minutes.
Absolutely.
Is this something, and families and that sort of
absolutely.
Thing?
Absolutely.
Is that something that you would advocate in the spirit
absolutely
world?
Absolutely so.
I mean, that's got to create a more spiritual population of the future, hasn't it?
Well, it's not just a spiritual population. It's actually to do with the connectivity of the mind and learning, teaching that child that they can become ultra-connected to their physical being presence, so
okay.
that they can organize their thoughts and feelings mm. and desires.
Well, I think, unfortunately, I think often the meditation is connected with religion, unfortunately.
Yes.
So if religion could be taken out of the equation, then that might be more likely to happen.
Yes, meditation has nothing to do with religion. It's nothing to do with the search for the Holy Grail either. But that is really a means to an end. It's that you use a meditative state of practice in order to create the right balance between your consciousness and the world around you. What you need to do is to organize the life in order to
learn to do that.
And the word spirituality is very often connected with religion, and it's, I mean, that's, I know this is all a play of words, but it actually does, you know, it does get in the way of so many different things, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
The,
so
the way we, different people and places, countries and that sort of thing,
yes,
use words. But spirituality, would you, how would you define spirituality? We've got a couple of minutes.
Well, spirituality,
I know,
it's the access of the consciousness to the spirit. That is all that you need to make. So this doesn't require that you join a religious sect in order to do that. For that is really to do with dogma and is to do with the formation of words, rules and language by which you abide by those words, rules and language.
Mm. So discovering self.
And yes, absolutely. Not just discovering self, but discovering your true being. The self is not an illusion anymore. This is part of the problem that many physical body people tend to have crashing into their minds. I am not my own original. I am not my own originality. I am somebody else that has been impressed with the thoughts of all of the others. Think of all of the other books that you've read, and all of this incoming information that you've plotted into your mind is actually to do with other people's consciousness journeys and how they have come to certain conclusions in their life. Remember not that, I'm not saying or suggesting that books are harmful.
No.
What I am suggesting here is that you do need to learn to read your own consciousness and to learn to organize it so that you gain the ultimate control with your spirit in mind.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you. Thank you very much, Gregory.
Thank you so. Love and blessings be upon your pathway, and every thought be clear to your destiny. Thank you so. God bless.
God bless. And we hope you've enjoyed the show. And we thank Drew for his questions. Absolutely lovely. Do phone again. And I'd just like to mention our website, which is www.spirit-teachings.com, where you can find out more information about us and our work, and discover our Akashic reading page, where you might like to book yourself a one-to-one Akashic reading with Gregory, find out about your Akashic records and your life as an eternal being, basically. Anyway, we look forward to seeing you next Monday on the wonderful BBS radio. And I'm Sylvie Avery, and you've been listening to Spirit's Work. Until next time, be peaceful, be positive, and focused on your goal, knowing that you're not alone in trying to create a better world. Bye.
Werewood 5.